I want to share with you from John chapter 2, starting with verse 5, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, gives very profound advice to all of us down through the centuries and in that moment, in that time, at that wedding. It was good advice. And yet good advice for us now. And we'll read on down to verse 11 where it says, the beginning of miracles. The beginning of miracles. Praise God. I'm thankful that a lot of us have had a beginning of miracles. We've seen the Lord work. We've seen the Lord manifest his power. Wonders and signs. Praise God. Incredible. And those of you who are just getting started, or those of you who have not started, it can happen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that is good advice. Powerful advice. Whatever he says, don't hesitate. Don't debate. Don't look for an explanation. Just do it. Amen. The results come. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's quite a bit of water. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now, these are good servants. They're following through. He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Again, great obedience. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that doesn't mean they're blasted, they're drunk out of their minds. No, it just means they've been filled, they've been satisfied. Then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. What a beginning. Praise God. A beginning of a marriage, beginning of a family, beginning of the disciples believing, beginning of miracles. Praise God. You can be seated. God bless you. Now, we can back up to Old Testament record and know this is not the beginning of miracles, period. It's the beginning of miracles in his earthly ministry. Because there have been many, many miracles that you can read in the Old Testament. Creation was just a continuation of miracles. As Brother Murphy related, it's just amazing to look at what God spoke into existence and how it just continues, just like he designed it, just like he planned it. Praise God. Amazing miracles. Fire would fall on the altar numerous times. Rain would fall. God would make it thunder and win victories for the people of God. And resurrections. Wow. Exciting resurrections that took place before Lazarus, before Jairus' daughter, and of course before the tomb was empty after being filled for 3 days. I'm thankful that there are lots of miracles. But this beginning is significant because the Lord is manifest in himself on the earth, and his glory is being revealed, and how much more would be established in the aspect of the glory of the Lord. Remember Moses saying, show me your glory. And then he's on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, seeing glory beyond his imagination. Praise God. Elijah being there as well. But that's a whole nother story. I'm thankful that Adam and Eve were created in God's image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And everything that he made, indeed, it was very good. And the presence of the Lord in the garden, how amazing, how wonderful, and what a tremendous blessing that was until sin entered the picture and changed the whole situation. Sin is nothing to laugh at. It's nothing to joke about. It's something that is a force, a power, a heredity, I guess we could say, that has contaminated the human race from the beginning. And it's that aspect that led the Lord to the cross. Amen. And if sin was that bad to require that greater price, then we need to understand it's not something we can excuse or tolerate or explain away or make relevant or situational ethics or however you want to explain it. Mankind's desire to just make things more convenient and more easy for him. The Lord didn't choose the easy. He didn't choose the convenient. He didn't choose the way that would be the least suffering. Oh, no. I need to keep an image in my mind of Jesus on the cross, lest I try to excuse sin or I try to minimize salvation. Salvation is so great, so powerful, so wonderful, because he redeems us from the curse of sin. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that whatsoever he doeth, or he saith rather, we can do in his word. Because it's never going to be too difficult. It's never going to be too impossible. That's the Lord being able to do his work. So from the wilderness to a wedding, the Lord makes his journey. He was called there, and some of his disciples accompanied him to that place. I'm thankful that the Lord wants to be a part of our lives in everything. It wasn't just the temple. It wasn't just the synagogue. It wasn't just sitting around moping and going through the scriptures and saying, oh no, I've got to obey this. Oh no, I've got to follow through on that. Oh no, I've got to make this sacrifice. I've got to build this tabernacle or anything like that. No, the Lord wants to be a part of every area of our lives, and our lives need to be blessed by his presence. Our homes need to be blessed by his presence. Our marriages need to be blessed by his presence. And thank God the Lord steps into each realm, each aspect, each circumstance, and says, I'll help you. I'll minister to you. I'll strengthen you. I'll lift you up. Praise God. The missing ingredients that set the stage for the miracle in Cana is something to take a look at. It was a large gathering, obviously, consisting of the couple who were happy and excited to be beginning their journey together. The parents of each of the couple, the man and the woman, the guests who were invited, the governor or the ruler of the feast, I guess we would call him a master of ceremonies today, and then all of the servants. There was quite a crowd. There was a good group that was there, and they were celebrating with that happy couple the new life together, a new beginning, the strong bond of love that was between them, and the excitement of how their life was going to unfold together. Now, life is not a continuous celebration. I know there are those who think it needs to be a celebration all the time. They're always expecting life to be a big party, to have something exciting to look forward to, something to satisfy. It's not that way. You run out of money real quick in those circumstances. But commitment is what keeps things going, is what keeps things together. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord helps us to make a commitment to him, make a commitment to our spouse, to our family, to one another, on our jobs, whatever the circumstances are, the Lord is able to move into our realm and say, I'll help you with your commitments. Praise God. As long as they're healthy commitments, as long as they're godly commitments, and not commitments to something that's going to bring disaster in our lives. No, I'm thankful the Lord was there. Mary became the messenger. She went to tell Jesus that they had run out of wine, and then she went to tell the servants to do whatever he says. Amen. Now, a miracle. Let's consider the definition of a miracle. It's an event or an effect deviating from the laws of nature. It's an extraordinary event brought about by superhuman agency. Okay. So miracles are rare. Miracles don't happen every day of the week. But they can happen when you follow through on whatsoever he saith, do it. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there can be a commitment to that that direction. Because it's not whatsoever he saith, sit down and think about it. Gather a group and talk about it. Debate the merits of it. See how it might fit into your life and into your program. Study it, but remain static, remain stagnant, and don't make any changes. Well, the way to get your needs met is simply obey his word. Simply follow through on what the word of God says. Amen. Now, the Lord does want you to step in and do your part. Let's go back to Lazarus and the tomb that they rolled the stone aside. Who rolled the stone aside? Did the Lord say, roll aside? And it did? No. He had them grab a hold of that stone and roll it aside. And when Lazarus came out after 4 days of being in the tomb and Mary's concern, there's going to be an odor, there's decomposition, it's not going to be pleasant. I wonder if the Lord eliminated that or if it was still a reality. And then he said, loose him and let him go. Who was the one who stepped forward first and began to unravel those grave clothes? I'd like to think the Lord took care of the situation, but he needed human assistance to step in and do the work. If the Lord's telling you to do a particular thing, do it. Amen. Amen. And it may be against what you think is the proper thing to do. It may be against what your plan is and your desire, your ambition, your will. But obey the one who knows the end from the beginning. I love to look at that verse, Isaiah 46:10. He knows the end from the beginning. And I'm going to obey the one who has all knowledge, all power, and is everyone present, everywhere present. Praise God. Because to obey him is to bring about the results. Fill the water pots with water. The servants were used to those kind of commands. The servants were used to obeying those commands. It's simple. Simple command for a simple solution. They told to do it, and they did. They were told to use what they had, and they did. They didn't just sit and wish. They got up and worked. And they could have questioned. They could have hesitated. They could have qualified. Water? This is no time to joke. We can get fired for this. We can get disciplined for this. What do you mean, fill it with water? But the water pots were sitting there, and the well was nearby, and so fill it, they did, to the brim. I like that designation, that qualification. They just kept pouring the water in. Amen. And maybe they would look at Jesus every now and then, And maybe they would raise an eyebrow at Mary. Maybe they would wonder as they walked back and forth from the well to the water pots, how much work is this going to be? And what is going to happen? Well, the question needs to be, how much blessing do you want?
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
How much do you want to receive? Right. You keep cutting yourself. You know, that phrase, how does it go? Something about your face and your nose? You're cutting off your nose to spite your face? You're hurting yourself. Took me a while to figure that out. Cut off your nose, spite your face. Couldn't figure it out. But now I realize you just hurt yourself with your decisions. You hurt yourself with your self-will. You hurt yourself with going the direction that is going to please you. When are you going to get tired of that? When are you going to recognize it's not working? Do what he says. How much blessing do you want? Fill it to the brim. Don't just get the bottom wet. Come on. Now, I've been there. I've looked at circumstances. I've looked at situations. I've wondered, what in the world? How am I going to get this figured out? How is this going to happen? How is this going to change? But just do what the Lord says to do. Praise God. Remember that king that Elisha said, strike with those arrows. And he did three times. And he should have just beat the ground. No matter how valuable those arrows were, he should have just beat them to smithereens. Until Elisha said, okay, stop, stop, stop. No, he hit three times and thought, that's good enough, isn't it? No, just keep doing what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. Praise God. Dig the valley full of ditches. You're not going to see rain. You're not going to see clouds. But the water is going to be there. And so they started to dig. Amen. How much blessing do you want? Not going to come your way. Not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. You manipulate. You change. You fix. Nothing. Time to back up and say, God, I'm wrong. God, I'm sorry. God, I need to change. I'll do it your way. Praise God. Okay. So they got the water in the jars all the way to the brim. And the Lord says, draw out now. Now? What about the time factor? What about this? What about that? Draw out now? We're going to get fired. We're going to be disciplined. But you know the story. The master of ceremonies was impressed. He made the statement. Usually, the best is served till everybody's satisfied. I don't think that the Lord was endorsing a drunken party to where there would be debauchery and degradation. No, the Lord doesn't endorse that. The Lord doesn't support that. It was simply a beverage for the celebration. And even though the time factor was ignored, God made it work. Praise God. Amen. And thank the Lord. Those servants obeyed. They knew where it came from. They knew the process because they had obeyed. They were worried and anxious, perhaps at the first, but now they could joke and laugh. Hide behind. We know what happened. Praise God. And they would look at Jesus and wonder, amazed. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord can do anything, and he can use anything. From a donkey talking to fire falling on the altar to rocks crying out. Praise God. Amazing things that he can do. Now, let's consider the well. The well that they went to and they drew water out. Isaiah 12 and 2, just a powerful, powerful verse. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Ah, that's good stuff right there. Then it goes on from there. The Lord God is my strength and my song. And then look at this. He's become my salvation. Praise God. He's the one who brought it about. He's the one who put it in place. He's the one who made it possible. He's the one that showed it to me. He's the one that fulfilled it for me. Praise God. And thank the Lord. Those examples of water in John chapter 4, that woman's lifestyle was so bad, so terrible, but the Lord opened the door for her to have living water. Praise God. He interrupted a religious feast crying out. The Bible says he shouted. He yelled. It wasn't just a louder volume. No, he screamed it out, if you will. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. And then the writer added parentheses, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we've received. I'm thankful we believed. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we know the scriptures have been fulfilled and the Lord declaring, come unto me, you'll never hunger. Believe on me, you'll never thirst. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. Now, this beginning of miracles. God's good at beginning. He's real good at beginning. He's real good at changing things and making a new beginning. Amen. We make a mess of things. We turn things upside down. We make things shredded and scattered. But the Lord says, I can make you a new beginning. I can bring it all together. I can provide. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He just said, let there be. Praise God. Amazing. And the Bible then says, the Creator is our helper. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. That's why the earth keeps spinning on its axis. That's why it keeps orbiting the sun. That's why the whole solar system operates the way it does. The whole galaxy, the whole universe. Because he upholds all things by the word of his power. If he can do that with things so majestic, so powerful, so scattered, and the forces of gravity continue to work, he can work in your life. He can hold things together for you. Praise God. He can bring it all together. Amen. And things that may be scattered, things that may be difficult, things that may have fallen apart, our God, amen, can do the work. Praise God, because he's good at it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not just words, not just printed on a page, but reality. Praise God. And we need to behold. Thank God. And move into that realm where those things are becoming new. Because he's good at beginnings. He's good at finishing. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. On the cross, what did he cry out? It is finished. He paid the price. Amen. Those that were opposed to him, those that were his enemies, the forces that were used to crucifying and punishing, thought that it's just blood. It's just another man. It's just another person. He's being punished. And what do we care? But that blood. And as the demons laughed and carried on, that blood was for my salvation and for my healing. Praise God. Oh, the Lord knows how to finish it. Praise God. Paul would declare, I have finished my course. And God help us each one to move into that statement as well. I have finished my course. Praise God. The course has been difficult. The course has been winding. The course brought me through things I would not have chosen. But that's the key. He brought me through. Hallelujah. And he'll bring you through. Amen. If you will do whatsoever he saith. Praise God. Your thinking, your ideas, your plans, your scheming, not going to do it. Hasn't worked yet. Why in the world keep stumbling along with it? Whatsoever he saith. Praise God. Because he can finish. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Now, not that redundancy seems like it's overworked, but I told you, redundancy is so that you could learn the lesson. It's so that you can get it. Do we get it? He's Alpha and Omega, the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter in the Greek alphabet, A to Z, beginning and ending. First and last, he's everything that you need. Praise God. And he finishes. He begins and he finishes. Hallelujah. He's the one I can put my trust in. He's the one that believing brings the seeing. We say it the other way around. Seeing is believing. And we're naturally set ourselves up for doubt. Naturally move ourselves into the realm that, oh, I've got to see it before I believe it. Okay. How's that working for you? Believe it. Whatsoever he saith, believe it. Do it. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the power of the Lord brings a change in our lives, not just a thrill and a chill. And, oh, that's wonderful. What else now? Let's go see what else we can find. No, I'm going to stick with the Lord. A disciple will demonstrate discipline. Praise God. And move into the realm of the blessings of the Lord. Okay, let's consider Nathanael. Philip told him, we've found him, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael has a big question mark on his face, and he expresses it. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And when he meets the Lord, Jesus tells Nathanael about the circumstances of Philip coming to him and meeting him. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw you. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord sees us. I'm thankful he sees us in our consternation, in our confusion, in our mess that we make ourselves in, and we stagger around trying to... He rescued me out of the miry clay. Why in the world would I want to go wander back in there again? He set my feet upon a rock. Why would I step off? But that's what we do in our human nature. So Nathanael believes, and he calls the Lord Rabbi. He calls him Son of God. He calls him King of Israel. And oh, there was going to be many more things that Nathanael was going to learn to call him. And the Lord told him, thou shalt see greater things. Now, where was Nathanael from? He was from Cana, where this wedding took place, where this beginning of miracles happened. He probably knew that young couple. He knew his way around town. He knew where that well was, that the servants filled the water pots to the brim. Nathanael means God has given. God has given. And God gave him proof of good things, of miracles, of blessings, of his spirit and his name. Praise God. The nobleman's son was healed in Cana. Nathanael probably knew him and probably heard the news about that son being born and of that son being sick and of that son being healed. Oh, God will show you greater things. Praise God. I'll hurry on here. Nathanael saw the crucifixion. Nathanael saw the burial. Nathanael saw the empty tomb and the resurrected Lord. Praise God. He saw thousands being filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. He probably helped thousands being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. He saw the lame man healed. He heard Peter's explanation. It's by his name, through faith in his name, this man stand before you whole. Praise God. Hadn't taken a step in 40 years of his life. Amen. And then Samaria, Jacob's well, where that encounter with that woman in John chapter 4 took place. Nathanael probably heard about the revival and went there after Philip preached the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Lord. And Peter and John go there and they receive the Holy Ghost. Cornelius and his household, Peter delivered from prison. Oh, Nathanael saw greater things. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord manifests his glory on our behalf as well. And we can believe what his word says and how the miracles bring about the proof. Now, John only recorded 7 miracles. Why did he only record 7? He qualified it at the end of his writings, and he said, many other things which Jesus did, if they were written down, the world couldn't contain the books. Our libraries today contain some pretty rotten things. It's a shame that our kids are being exposed to some of that garbage. But Ed, if we express our disapproval, we're bigots. We're all kinds of things. But there's coming a time that you're going to have to take a stand. And you are just going to have to remember the one who began the miracles in your life and stand for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Many miracles. And I'm thankful we can recognize them done in our lives. Deliverance, healing, salvation. Lives being changed, homes being strengthened, marriages being saved. Thank God he does the miracle work. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the miracles march on. Praise God. Not done yet. You know, it's amazing how there's a denomination, a large body of believers, a number of churches across the land that say, it's over. No more miracles. That's it. What you read in the scripture is all there is. Not going to happen. But I look out at this small group and I see miracle after miracle. Praise God. Miracles that medical science could not do, but our God did. Hallelujah. Miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, miracles of salvation. Praise God. And salvation that contains miracles, and they just keep going. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that we know He can begin miracles. He can continue miracles. Praise God. And we'll rejoice in those miracles on the other side. Are there going to be miracles in heaven? Well, probably not, because there's not any pain. There's no crying. There's no sorrow. There's no grief. There's no death. There's no devil. Praise God. We're just going to rejoice forever. Hallelujah. It'll be worth it. Do whatsoever He saith. Praise God. And thank the Lord that beginning does not have an ending. It just keeps going because of the power of the Lord, because of His blessing. Amen. Stand, please. I'm so thankful He's a God of miracles. And I'm thankful the Word of God just emphatically states it. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's a powerful statement.
Right.
Amen. And it's one that we can hold on to. It's one that we can claim. It's one we can believe. It's one we can trust. The Lord's going to continue it. Praise God. And oh, what blessings He brings into our lives again and again. What strength He makes known again and again. Praise God. We just live for Him. We obey Him. We walk with Him. We follow His word. We live in His light. Praise God. And He leads us victory to victory, strength to strength. Praise God. Glory to glory. He provides. Amen. And we rejoice in it. Amazing stuff. And I'm thankful we can make that commitment again. God, I'm going to keep following You. God, I'm going to keep serving You. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, You're the one that I believe. Praise God. The beginning of miracles. I think that we look back in the circumstances of our lives, and we were to make an inventory of the miracles that the Lord has already done in our lives, I think we'd be absolutely amazed. There's probably a number that we've forgotten in our finite minds. We don't recall, but how the Lord guided our steps, how the Lord arranged us to be in certain circumstances at a certain time, and how He worked, and how He touched, and how He blessed, and how He spoke into our lives and our hearts. Praise God. And then how He wants to continue them. How He wants to keep it going. Let's don't get off track. Let's not make our self-will eliminate His will. Let's move into the realm the miracles can continue. Praise God. Amen. Let's come and pray here today. Praise God. Oh, I feel like the Lord wants to assure us. The Lord wants to make that affirmation. The Lord wants to put it in our hearts and minds again. I can do it. Let me do it. Let me show you. Let me guide you. Let me help you. Praise God. And oh, amazing how it's going to turn out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord together right now. Hatalalaki Jesus.